Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. There we go. Thank you, Marty, for leading us in songs today and worship of you. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. We're going to conclude chapter 10 today, and then next week we'll begin chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. And one thing to realize is chapter 10 leads up to chapter 11. Oftentimes, I think we forget the importance of chapter 10, and we just go to chapter 11, and we read, by faith, by faith, by faith. But in chapter 11 is a example or a demonstration of how we persevere with faith, how we endure with faith. So as we make our way through this passage, remember and keep in mind the future passage of chapter 11. By faith, all these people did this. So let's begin by reading chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. And the Word of God says this: "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And finally, in verse 39, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Let's open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to this passage, Lord, it's this kind of challenging passage, Lord, but this very good passage, and that it encourages us to endure, it encourages us to continue going and to live by faith. Lord, I pray that you just open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, open everything about us to see, hear, know, and believe and understand everything this passage is teaching us today. That we're able to see the two encouragements here to endure. That we're able to have joy because we know there's a better possession coming. God, this morning I pray that you just help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion, and to preach your word and your word alone. God, we thank you for Jesus and all that he did for us on the cross. We pray all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This past Sunday evening, as many of you know, if not all of you know, was the Super Bowl, right? Many of you, I'm sure, probably watched the Super Bowl, at least maybe half of it. The last half wasn't any good. But maybe you watched it, and as you know, it was the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And as I've already stated, the first half was terrible for the Kansas City Chiefs, who I am a fan of. It was 24-0 at halftime. The Chiefs didn't even score a single point. And then you go to the third quarter, and the Chiefs only scored 6 points then, and the Eagles had made it to 34. By that point, I was like, this is over. There's no coming back. It is not quite possible for them to come back and win this game. But you know what I did as a Chiefs fan? I endured the struggle. As the game concluded and the Eagles had won the Super Bowl, I was reminded of the confidence that I had in the Chiefs from becoming a fan of them just a few years ago. When we moved to Kansas City, I was excited to be a fan of Kansas City. I'd watched their games. I was confident in them playing and competing well and the likelihood that they would go to another Super Bowl, and that they did, three of them in the past 4 years, as a matter of fact. So we have confidence, right? I had ultimately been enlightened, if you will, to the greatness of the Kansas City Chiefs. And now, even if the Chiefs don't win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl, I will endure the struggles, right? Because I'm confident that they will one day win again. I'm certain many of you are exactly like this with your favorite team, with your favorite baseball team, football team, whatever it be. When things aren't going well, because you're a fan, you've seen greatness in the past, you're going to continue to be a fan, right? You're going to continue to have confidence that one day they're going to be great again. So you endure the difficult seasons. But what about life? How do you endure the difficult seasons of life? How do you endure the times when sufferings happen, when persecutions happen? How do you endure through the hard, challenging, tragic times in your life? I would wager to say that many of us suffer and endure better through tough seasons of a football team or a baseball team or a collegiate team better than we do life. Now, granted, those are two completely different scenarios, but for some reason, we struggle to endure and suffer well through life. Our passage today, I ultimately hope, serves as an encouragement for all of us to endure persecution, to endure sufferings, and to endure in all seasons of life with faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Now, I must remind you here the context and the state of living that this early Hebrew church was going through, because if we forget it, we're going to lose the importance of this passage. As we've said over and over and over through this, the early Hebrew church, they are being persecuted, actively being persecuted. Many of them are losing their confidence in Jesus, losing their faith in Jesus. They are not continuing. They are not enduring. They are not persevering. They've lost their confidence in who Jesus is. It's why the author has shown us over and over and over through the whole book of Hebrews that Jesus is greater, that Jesus is better than all these others in the Old Testament. It's why he has told us to hold fast to the confession. It's why the author has told us to stir, make sure I say that word right, to stir one another up to love and good works and to not neglect meeting together as was the habit of some. I don't think we here in America will ever experience what the early Hebrew church experienced, and that they were being persecuted to the death, imprisoned, all those crazy things that they went through. But there are certainly in many different ways that we here in America, even as the Christian church in America here, are persecuted. Many of us are scared to share the gospel with somebody because we're afraid they're going to say something bad to us, right? It's an example of persecution. We're scared to talk about Jesus and what he's done in our life because we're afraid someone's going to make fun of us. Someone's going to say something. Those are all signs of persecution, right? Those are all different things. So, I say all that because we must not dismiss this passage. Because it can be easy for us to say, well, that's happening over there, right? Oh, that's not happening here. It's happening over there. And we can just dismiss this passage that God has given us. But one thing we must remember is that we as Christians, we are going to be persecuted. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, that we will be reviled and persecuted, and that people will utter all kinds of evil against us on His account. Because we believe in Him, they will do this. Because we believe in Him, we will be persecuted. Paul, Peter, James, they all speak of how Christians are going to suffer and be persecuted. We should expect persecution as Christians. And this passage is going to encourage us today to endure whatever persecution, whatever sufferings come our way. I stated a couple weeks ago, beginning here in chapter 10 until the beginning of chapter 12, the author is really highlighting how we should persevere with faith. And we will eventually get to chapter 12, verse 1, where the author tells us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And to bring us back to chapter 10, verse 32 to 39, the author here is highlighting for us two ways to run with endurance the race that is set before us. He's giving us two encouragements to endure with faith. And the first encouragement that we see to endure with faith is that Christians endure by remembering the better possession we have in Christ. Christians endure by remembering the better possession we have in Christ. The author begins in verse 32. I'm going to put it up here. I'm not going to read all of these again. But he begins here in verse 32 and says, hey, recall the former days. Recall those days, the former days, after you were enlightened. The idea here is he wants to take these Christians back to the early days of their salvation. He wants to take them to when they first began to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they first put their faith in Him. Many of you here remember those first few days after believing in Jesus. Maybe they've been a long time ago, but over your life you can look back and you can see these days where you're just like, man, this is great. I'm so happy to believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in everything that is said, everything that He's done. Because that's what happens, right? When you first believe, you are all about it. All about it. You're confident in it. You're excited. I remember when I first believed in Jesus, I was super excited. So excited that I went and told many people that God had saved me, that I believed in Him. I remembered the joy that I had knowing that I was a child of God. I think for all of us here, there is some value for us in this. There's some value for us to recall those former days when we were first enlightened to the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whenever we were saved and believed and placed our faith in Jesus, because this life is hard. And when we remember the joy that we had and how Christ had saved us, we will endure. That's what the author here is bringing out to us. The author continues to say, recall those days when after you were enlightened and how you endured the hard struggle with sufferings. And then he tells us that these sufferings are, in verse 32, he goes on and he says that they are, or these early Christians were publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, meaning that they were insulted, they were disgraced, they were oppressed, they were mistreated. And then you see that they were partners with others who were so wrongly treated. They didn't shy away from their identity in Christ because they didn't shy away from their belief in Jesus. They stuck beside their brother or sister in Christ who was being mistreated. They were partners with them. And then you go on to verse 34 and you see that some of them were put in prison. You had compassion on those in prison. But not only were some put in prison, some of them had all their property plundered, stolen, taken, removed. The author is saying here, recall those days. That's hard, ain't it? Recall those days when your property was plundered, when some of you were thrown in prison. Recall those days when you endured through those hard things. Recall how you stayed and kept the faith through those sufferings. Recall how you endured, how you made it through. And ultimately, what were they to recall from enduring those times? He goes on, he tells us, they were to recall how they had a better possession and an abiding one. If you look at those last couple lines there, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one. They were to call that. Other translation for this word abiding here, they use enduring or lasting. An enduring possession. A lasting possession. A heavenly possession. An eternal possession is what he's saying here. An eternal inheritance that we as Christians have through Jesus. And here again we see the word better used. We talk so often about how Jesus is better, Jesus is greater. And here again we see that because Jesus is better, because Jesus is greater, we have a better possession. An eternal possession. Church, do you realize this? We have an eternal heavenly inheritance that is far greater and better than any possession that we will ever have on this earth. Than any piece of property that we will ever have on this earth. We can't take any possession that we have with us on this earth to heaven. How many of you have ever seen a U-Haul fall in a hearse? None of us, right? We take nothing with us. Nothing goes to heaven with us. And these early Christians, in their early days of believing, they knew this and they endured the sufferings that they were going through because they knew that through Jesus, they had a better possession. An eternal inheritance in heaven. Which is why when their property and possessions were being plundered, confiscated, taken. It says they joyfully accepted it. They joyfully accepted it because they had a better possession. How many of you, if you were in their shoes, or let's just say that someone came to your house and they just started taking everything that you owned and plundering your property because you were a Christian, how many of you would be joyfully accepting the plundering of what they're doing? Not many of us, is there? We would all probably be very upset, highly unhappy, maybe even angry and mad. And I think what this is revealing to us is that sometimes we care way too much about our possessions and our property that we have here on this earth than the eternal inheritance that we have in Jesus. These early Christians, they endured with joy. With joy, they suffered the persecution. The Bible speaks often about persecution and suffering, and sometimes we like to think that just won't happen to us. That's somewhere else. That's going to be happening over there. Or because maybe you have served God and gave money to the church and did this and did that, I'm not going to suffer because I did these great things, right? Or maybe sometimes we think, God just won't allow that to happen to me, right? But the Bible has specifically told us over and over and over that that is so far from the truth. Because as Christians, we're going to suffer. We're going to be persecuted. And in those times, we are to rejoice and be joyful. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 teaches us something about this. Paul goes on and he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Amen. We should 100% be rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, in the hope that we have as Christians, as believers, in the hope of Jesus saving our souls. We should rejoice in that. But then he continues and says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Wow. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and he continues, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Church, right here, God's Word is telling us to rejoice in our sufferings, because it produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And this hope is not going to put us to shame. This hope is going to lead us to a better possession we have in heaven. Church, in your suffering, in your persecution, and I don't know what it's going to look like for you, but you best believe it's going to happen. But let's be like this early church and endure those sufferings by rejoicing and being joyful, because we have a better possession. We have an eternal inheritance awaiting us. And that initially starts by being joyful in Christ even now. Even when you're not going through persecutions and sufferings, be joyful in Jesus. I'm afraid that far too many Christians are living without the joy of Christ in their lives and are rather putting their joy in possessions of this world. And when the world comes plundering, your joy is lost. John 15:11. Jesus says to his disciples, this right here. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And Christian, here's what this means. The joy of Christ is in you, and that joy is to the fullest. That joy abounds, it is overflowing, it is a fulfilling joy. There is nothing in this life that can give you joy like Jesus can. If you're wondering why you're unhappy all the time, it might be because Jesus isn't your joy. Let Him be your joy, not possessions and properties of this world. And despite what we think sometimes, and as hard as this is to say, our spouse, our kids, our family, our job, our hobbies, our wealth, our possessions, they cannot be our joy. Because at some point, every single one of those, even your spouse, as good as they are, they're going to let you down. Or, sadly, they may leave this earth. And when those people in your life, or those possessions you have, when they're gone, if your joy is rooted in them, you no longer have joy. But if your joy is rooted in Jesus, the Eternal One, the Eternal Son of God, the One who gives us joy, even in the sad, tragic, hard times of loss, we will still be joyful. And even when persecution and sufferings come, we can joyfully endure with faith because our joy is rooted in Christ. And this leads us to our second encouragement here. You want to go to that second encouragement for me? The second encouragement, Christians endure by remaining confident in the faith they have in Christ. Christians endure by remaining confident in the faith they have in Christ. The author begins in verse 35 by saying, therefore, and this is a big therefore, the therefore is there because of what was previously said, right? Because of this, because you endured in the past by remembering the better possession you have in Christ, therefore remain confident in the faith you have in Christ. He says specifically, don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw it away. And this word confidence here can be understood as boldness or courage. Don't throw away your boldness. Don't throw away your courage. Keep it. Hold on to it. And we can already see how confident they were. They were confident and bold, and that they endured the sufferings from their possessions being plundered, being insulted and oppressed, brothers and sisters in Christ being thrown into prison. They didn't shy away, and they were bold and confident. They continued to endure because they were confident and bold in their faith they had in Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You know of somebody, or maybe yourself, who is just super, super confident in Jesus. No matter what comes their way, because they are so confident in who Jesus is, it's like it's just a breeze. They just continue going, right? You know those people. And the author of Hebrews is saying, have confidence to endure. Continue going. Church, the author, God's word, is instructing us to remain confident in the faith. And he goes on in verse 36, because you have need of endurance. Why do we remain confident? Because we have need of endurance. We need this confidence to endure. We talked about this already before, but the Christian life is hard, isn't it? It's a difficult and challenging life, and living here on this earth can be really hard. And it was especially hard for this early Hebrew church as they were being persecuted. And the author was saying, remain confident. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your boldness. Don't throw away your courage, because you need it to endure. You need it. And then he goes on and says, and by enduring, you will do the will of God, and you will receive what is promised. And that is promised is the great reward, the better possession, the eternal inheritance that we've already talked about. Church, God's word is instructing us to keep our confidence, our boldness, our courage, because we need it to do endure and to do the will of God and receive that which is promised. Because here's the reality. If you don't keep your confidence, if you don't endure, you will not do the will of God. More importantly, you're not going to receive what is promised. And the author proves this to us in these last three verses here. To summarize it, he says, there's a day, there's going to be a day when Christ is going to return. And this day is not going to be delayed. It's not going to be like, oh, I got to wait on Austin to get on board. I got to wait on Susie over here to get on board. I got to wait on Billy over there to get on board. No. This ain't waiting. You think about when Noah, when God shut the door of the ark, There was no more waiting. The boat was, at that point, the door was shut. When Jesus comes back, the door is going to be shut. There's no delay. No more waiting. And those that are righteous and have lived by faith, those that have endured, they preserve their souls. They inherit the eternal possession. And he continues and says, but those that don't live by faith, those that don't endure and shrink back, they are not going to do the will of God. And God takes no pleasure in them. And those is the that's the Bible's words, not my words. And they are destroyed. It's a harsh reality. It's a hard truth, but you know what? It is the truth. If you do not keep the faith, if you do not endure, God takes no pleasure in you, and you will be destroyed by His wrath in hell. Jesus says something very similar in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. He's teaching the disciples about the end times, how there will be wars and famines and earthquakes, and how false teacher will come. And then he goes on and says this. Oh, I got a couple verses in there. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who keeps the faith and lives by faith until the end, they will be saved. So that brings us to some questions that I think need to be answered. First, do you have faith in Jesus? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? And if you do have faith and you have placed faith in Jesus, are you enduring with faith right now? Don't answer these questions and say, well, 25 years ago, I had a moment in my life and made a decision to put my faith in Jesus Christ. And that means I'm taken care of. You know those people, right? I'm taken care of. I did it a long time ago. Our passage today and even last week has taught us otherwise, hasn't it? Our passage this week, today, has taught us that those who have put their faith in Jesus and then continually, daily, every single day of their lives live by faith, they will be saved. As I said last week, it's only once saved, always saved, if you always keep believing. True faith doesn't fizzle out over time. True faith endures to the end. So I ask you one more time, are you living by faith? Are you daily, every single day of your life, living by faith? And if your answer is no this morning, then I just want to encourage you now to know that in this moment, you can place your faith in Jesus Christ and you can believe in Him as Savior and Lord of your life. And I just want you to know that if you continue to live in that faith, you will be saved. Your life, when you get to the end, your life will prove whether on this day, when you make a decision to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord and place your faith in Him, whether you truly believe in this moment or not. And so this morning, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I just want to encourage you to do that right now and to begin living by faith. Faith in what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary, how He died a sacrificial death on the cross for your sins and your salvation. How He gave His life for you. And if that's you this morning, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you, to talk about what it means to continue daily living in faith and following Jesus. In our sermon today, we've seen two encouragements. Christians endure by remembering the better possession we have in Christ. We must remember that we have a better possession, a lasting possession, and live with joy, full joy in Christ, even in the suffering. Christians endure by remaining confident in the faith we have in Christ. We must not throw it away. We must not shrink back in our faith, but rather endure by living with faith every single day of our lives. During my sermon prep this week, I was constantly reminded of two people, Joseph and Paul. You think about the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, in the book of Genesis, and how he is sold into slavery by his brothers. He suffered and persecuted because of that, didn't he? And then after being highly favored by Potiphar, became overseer of his house. And then sometimes afterward, Potiphar's wife decides to seduce Joseph, or tries to seduce Joseph. And Joseph flees away, and she ends up making false accusations against Joseph. Joseph was arrested, put in prison. He suffered and persecuted. He suffered and was persecuted once again. But Joseph continued to live in faith, right? He kept his faith. He didn't let his situations or things that had happened to him, his persecutions and sufferings, mess him up. He continued. He endured. He remained confident in his God. And while in prison, he was put in charge of the prisoners. A prisoner in charge of prisoners. That was Joseph. And eventually, after interpreting some visions and dreams for the king of Egypt, he became the king's right hand man. And the king told him that the king told Joseph he was placed over all the land of Egypt. And then a famine would come, and Joseph's family was in desperate need, and because of Joseph enduring and keeping the faith, he was able to save his family. Because Egypt and Joseph had stored up food for many years to come. Joseph endured and daily lived by faith. May we be like Joseph. Also think of Paul and his words in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 7, when he says this: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Can you say that about yourself? Would you be able to say that about yourself at the end of your life? Paul could say that because he endured with confidence. He remembered his eternal possession he had in Christ, the eternal inheritance that he was so waiting for. He endured all those persecutions and suffering because he knew it was coming. But not only Paul and Joseph, the greatest example we have is Jesus. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus suffered. His family, his brothers, didn't even believe who he said he was. The very people he came to, the Jews, they didn't agree with him. As a matter of fact, the Jews are the one who put Jesus on the cross. Jesus was persecuted and suffered his whole time, at least in his ministry there. But yet, he endured, he remained faithful, and he went to the cross of Calvary and died a sacrificial death on the cross for our sins and for our salvation. May we live faithful like Jesus every single day of our lives because he was faithful to go to the cross. May we be like Jesus and endure with faith. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, we just want to come to you and just confess that sometimes, Lord, we don't endure with faith. That when hard times come, when sufferings and persecutions come, we struggle to endure with faith and to continue living with faith. God, I just want to confess that sometimes we lose our joy over certain situations in life that happen because we haven't let you be our fullest joy that we can. And so God, this morning, I just pray that we as a church, Lord, we will endure in all of life situations, in all the persecutions and sufferings we will ever face. God, I just pray that we will remember that our joy is rooted in you, not anything else, not anybody else. Lord, help us to have full and complete joy in you so we can endure. And God, help us to remain confident in everything that happens, Lord, so we can endure with faith. God, we thank you for the example of Jesus and how he was faithful and endured all the way to the cross, Lord, giving us salvation. God, I pray that you help us to live like Jesus and be faithful to you as he was faithful to you. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.